to the Hagmann Report. Paul McGuire is our guest. You know about the Matrix. We talk about the Matrix all the time, whether directly or indirectly, by name or just by activity. Conquering the Matrix is Paul McGuire's newest work. It's really it's a great book. It's up to date, even to the point of talking about the Las Vegas shooting. I've got it in my hand. This is brand new, one of the first ones out. In fact, it's still warm from the printing. I'm kidding on that, but nonetheless, it's really going to be a hot book. I do predict that. It connects a lot of dots, and it's as instructional as it is informational. And I cannot say enough about it. So visit paulmcguire.us for information to grab yourself one or more of these books. And this is a great, it's a great supplement to, Prophecy of the Future of America, both editions, even the and even going back, so from the library of Paul McGuire, again, one of his a very fine work, in the new book Conquering the Matrix. We do love it, and I've gone through it today. As a matter of fact, I was in quiet meditation, seems like, for a number of hours going reading the book, and it got my attention. Before we get back to Paul, you know, I got to tell you, this past weekend I had, my wife and I had our neighbors over to our home, and I love getting, the packages, for example, from Omaha Steaks. And we had gotten the package Friday, and it's their family gift pack. We ordered it for ourselves, and this is fabulous. So Saturday, our neighbors come over, and they saw the contents of the family gift pack. And I will tell you this, I'm not making this up, okay, because, you know, Jack, Joe, I mean, okay, he said,
yeah.
Hey, so, yeah, so how much, I mean, and I told him, I said, look, we got all this stuff for under $50. It was incredible. So I'm sure he ordered it the next day. But, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99 you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks, in general, they've got over 500 gourmet gift ideas. They offer the most flavorful, tender aged beef. They've got the poultry and seafood and pork and veal and lamb and veggies and desserts, appetizers. I could go on. Pasta, soups, seasoning, sauces, and it's just so much more. And convenient and quick shopping for those on your list. This is a great gift. This is a great pack for yourself, as I just told you about. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. And we had, we actually had four boneless chicken breasts along with the potatoes au gratin on Saturday when we had our neighbors over. But two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, and as I mentioned, the four boneless chicken breasts, oh, were they delicious, along with four kielbasa sausages and four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four camel apple tartlets. By the way, we had those for dessert. I almost didn't get one because Jack was wrestling me for mine. And one Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, which really makes it great. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages free. Folks, go to omahasteaks.com. Enter our code HH in the search bar. That's all you've got to do. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter our code HH in the search bar and get 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. Send it to your boss. Send it to your neighbor. Right? Yeah, send it to your neighbor. Send it to your coworker. Send it wherever. If somebody's got a birthday coming up, this is a great My Family gift pack. It's phenomenal. Under $50, $49.99, and that's 75% off to our listeners. Again, HH in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com. It's a gift guaranteed to please all year round. And, you know, it's great. By the way, TC Joseph, I want to mention this. If you haven't done so already, T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels, really making a big splash with a fictional series about the end times. Precipice, Pentecost, and Penance, tremendous series of books. You know, with Christmas coming up, think about gifts like that. That'll help you reach out to others who are maybe not quite there in the Christian series or not quite awake. These books are designed to wake people up. That's This Generation series by T.C. Joseph. Fantastic books as well. Joe, and I know you want to mention Greenovative because you've got a situation here.
Alan Riggs has put together this mission pack. Go to greenovative.com. You can use the promo code Hagman, get 15% off anything in the store. Use the promo code Mission. You can get 20% off this mission pack, and it's got a lot of great stuff in here. It can be a great starter pack or pack for your bug out kit. It's got a Bible, a few flashlights, some power pucks, battery chargers, as well as rechargeable batteries. It's a great, great package that you can use, give to a missionary, give to a friend who is starting a preparedness kit, or a family member who might need it when the time comes. You never know when you're going to need power. Go to greenovative.com. Again, promo code Mission for 20% off the mission pack. Promo code Hagman for 15% off everything else in the store. Greenovative.com. Paul McGuire,
yeah,
I guess.
Back to our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Just a fantastic intellectual mind, in my view. The Conquering the Matrix is his newest book.
And just before the break, we were talking about the brainwashing and programming from all the from the internet and computers to TV, all the way back to even the days of just radio, and how in the last 100 years all this technology that can be used to spread information in a positive way is not only used for that, and at least the internet and radio are, but we see that there's this huge push to get out of reality, to create this false reality, to be used to be brainwashing people and to manipulate their minds and thought processes. And we were talking before the break on some of the things, Paul, that you do or would advise others to do to make sure that they are not wrapped up in this false reality through this entertainment system that we have and depend on as a society.
Yeah, well, you're right. And the thing is, the first thing that is essential for people to be free is that they have to become aware and educated as to what is coming at them in terms of how they're being programmed and manipulated. And it's not that hard to learn the basics, and that's what I try to do in the book. You know, in the last couple of months, my wife and I have been watching various episodic TV shows, and there's one called Designated Survivor about the president thing, and there's Madam Secretary, and there's a whole bunch of programs. And what's interesting is that the programs at face value appear to be entertainment, the drama, suspense things, but that's just the blackboard. The real purpose of these television shows is the white chalk that nobody seems to see, because layered into all the screenplay dialogue and the visuals are constant bombardment of repetitive themes with messages such as gun control or attacks on Trump or programming people to accept any number of things. Those are the real intents of the program. They're instruments of propaganda. They're not really produced for the purpose of entertainment, but for the purpose of propaganda. A lot with movies, too. Okay, so the first thing is that people have to become aware of that, and they have to be able to sit down, and if they happen to watch an episodic television show, once you begin to train your mind, the propaganda will literally stand up and scream at you and slap you in the face. You'll become so aware of it. The other thing is, you've got to unplug yourself from this matrix or this virtual world that we all plug ourselves into through consumption of television, radio, the internet, social media, on and on and on and on, because it's programming us subliminally and consciously. And what is a good thing to do is to, you have to be radical about it. You don't, when I say radical, you have to be intelligently radical about your, how you're going to unplug yourself from the control mechanism of the matrix. So good ways to start are, and I just started this many years ago, get yourself, either, earbuds or some kind of portable, player, or you play it on your laptop or whatever, and just start trying it for a week. Listen to the audio version, like King James of the Book of Revelation or the Book of Genesis. And as a minimum, play an hour to 2 hours every day of the audio, no commentary, just Genesis, Revelation, or other chapters. Now, you don't have to sit there being captive to it. If you have it on your earbuds or whatever, you can vacuum, run errands, you know, do chores, mow the lawn or whatever. So it goes by very quickly. The key is not that you have to pay attention and consciously understand everything that you're hearing. That's not the purpose. You're bathing your mind in exposure to the Word of God, which is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, then, is burying itself in your subconscious mind. It's entering your inner man or woman. And, of course, the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Just doing that on a regular basis, you will notice immediate, radical, powerful, liberating transformation in your outlook on life, in your closeness to God. It will do amazing things, and all, and you don't have, and you can do chores and everything else. It's just, you're immersing it in the background, and I can, that's probably the number one thing I could stress. Another thing is, in unplugging yourself from the matrix, go outside to your backyard, or for a walk, or if you're anywhere near, you know, water or nature or whatever you can find, a park or whatever, and don't have earbuds, you know, playing something. Actually visually and with your senses experience nature. And what that does is it reprograms you, because you begin, your body, mind, soul, and spirit begin to synchronize to God's creation. You know, just the birds chirping, etc. That produces a different state of consciousness, and it brings you closer to God, and it allows a peace to enter you. Now, people may think, you know, he's talking about New Age tree-hugging and stuff. No, I'm not. One of the things the Lord always leads me into what area to research, and a number of years ago, the Lord specifically told me out of the blue that I needed to research electromagnetic frequencies and EMF fields before I really understood all what it entailed. And when the Lord tells me to do that, I did that, and all kinds of stuff opened up for me. The fact that each one of our bodies has an electromagnetic frequency or EMF field, and each one of us has a unique EMF field that's just as unique as our fingerprints. Number two is, we are bathed constantly in electromagnetic frequencies, and we have no idea what these electromagnetic frequencies are doing to us. They're coming at us from these CERN cell phone towers, other kinds of cell phone towers, our neighbor's Wi-Fi, our Wi-Fi, cell phones, television. I mean, even if all your electronic instruments are off, you are literally being bathed in EMF fields. And one of the things to know about EMF fields, the electromagnetic frequencies, is that some of the primary categories of EMF fields correspond to specific brainwave states. So, for example, at 10 hertz, you have what is called the alpha brainwave state, and then you have the beta brainwave state, and the theta brainwave state, and the delta brainwave state, and the gamma brainwave state. This is being bombarded at you, whether you know it or not. For example, every time you sit in front of a television, going back to black and white TV, television always admits an alpha wave, alpha brainwave state of 10 HZ. I talk about it in detail in the book, and I've probably mentioned it before in the program. The 10 HZ alpha wave state, whenever you're watching television, you are being bathed in a 10 HZ alpha wave state from the TV. Now, that does some good things, and it does some bad things. Every one of us have seen in other people, and we've seen it in ourselves, where people are so glued to the TV, they're like in a trance state, and you shout at them, and you can't get their attention. And we've all been in that state. That's not just some cute thing. That is the byproduct of when somebody is being saturated for, you know, more than an hour in a 10 HZ alpha brainwave state induced by the TV broadcast. That is a hypnotic state. It produces a mild, optimistic, serene trance state. Okay? That's why people are mesmerized by the TV in that state. And in terms of positive things, the 10 HZ alpha wave state can enhance learning. It can make you calm, slightly optimistic. It enables you to focus for long hours and learn material. But the problem, the downside with the 10 HZ brainwave state from your TV or from any source, is that at the same time it puts you into an optimistic subtle trance state, which allows you to learn and retain information, at the same time it shuts down your critical thinking capacities, your discernment, your ability to evaluate the information and content coming towards you. That's all shut down. So you become somewhat passive, and you're totally open to programming, subliminal messages that are coming to you from the TV set, because even though it's able to gather your attention, you lose your filtering system. You lose your ability to say, is that true? You know, or what are they trying to do? You're just compliant. So it's the perfect electronically induced brainwave state for brainwashing. And so the scientific elite that rule this nation and the world knew that from the beginning. Because when you watch TV, all kinds of messages, conscious and subconscious, and through repetition, are pouring into your subconscious mind without you realizing it. And they are creating new belief systems. They're destroying belief systems. They're creating new moralities, destroying old moralities, changing your political view, doing all kinds of things. And right then and there, that is like one of the most powerful mind control vehicles there is. Okay, so you've got to escape sitting under its influence. You got to unplug the TV and do something else. Now, when I say do something else, read a book, but read a different kind of book. Not one that reinforces like a brainwave state. Do something different, like listening to the audio of the Bible, or go out in nature. And on top of that, and this is going to sound crazy, but you should go outside, as long as you're not going to hurt yourself, whether it's the beach, the grass, nature. You should spend an hour allowing your bare feet to touch the earth or the grass or the sand or whatever, because what you're doing from an EMF field standpoint is you're grounding your body, which is the way God created your body to be grounded. And so the electromagnetic fields that are passing through you and that you're generating yourself are being grounded. That is a very, very powerful way of disarming any negative influence from these EMF fields, and it's something people should do on a weekly basis. Number three is, sometime during the day, you need to sit down outside. What I do is make sure my bare feet are touching the grass or whatever, and even if it's for just 30 minutes, I put my face towards the sun and close my eyes, and I allow the sunlight to directly hit my face or chest with my feet on the ground. What this does is it reprograms your biological clock. It positively reprograms your circadian rhythms, your sleep cycles, and it positively balances your electromagnetic field. And the vitamin D that you get from the sun is like a major facilitator of healing and setting off good biological mechanisms to build up your immune system, et cetera, et cetera. Now, these are just a couple of things. Other things is deliberately expose yourself to information, reading, or force yourself to listen to classical music for 30 minutes. I don't like classical music. Find like Mozart or whatever and force yourself to listen to it, even if you can't stand it. Play it in the background, because the complexity of classical music is so complex and so different than, you know, rock and roll and pop and stuff, that the mere listening to classical music will change positively your brainwave frequencies, and it will quantumly increase the amount of neurological pathways in your brain, thus making you more intelligent, developing alternative routes, and expanding your consciousness. And then read something, and don't worry about whether you understand it or not. It's like with the Bible. You know, somebody told me when I first started studying the Bible, just read it. So I would read the Levitical laws and all this stuff, and I had no clue what I was reading, okay? But I just read it, and I didn't worry about whether or not I understood it. But after constant exposure to that, you are reprogramming your mind, and sooner the Bible comes alive, and you begin to mysteriously understand stuff through repetition. So that's a very powerful thing. So those are just a few things. To pick up, for example, selectively, read the writings of Albert Einstein on his theory of relativity. Not his heavy-duty mathematical formulas, but his explanation for his theories or other legitimate scientific theories. Is to say, why should I do that? The reason you do that is not for the purpose of understanding. The reason you're doing it is that you're exposing your brain to a complexity and depth of thought that you're normally depriving your brain from. And when you begin to do a series of these activities, even if you don't understand it, which cause your brain to expand, you are, without realizing it, quantumly expanding your intelligence, and you're breaking the matrix. These are just a few tiny set of things, and you will be amazed at the positive transformation and how God will speak to you. And then one other thing along this line is that we have to understand that in terms of conquering the matrix, we're conquering scientific mind control and programming and mass hypnosis, etc. The mass programming, which is coming at all of us, it not only causes us to think in a certain way about politics, morals, et cetera, it can create a state of mental confusion, it can create a state of depression and anxiety. But when we unplug from that, and then we allow ourselves to receive input that is different than our normal diet of being programmed and subliminally brainwashed, what happens is we unplug ourselves from the matrix, and once, and I explain this all in Conquering the Matrix, the purpose of scientific mind control is to control an individual or to control a mass population. So the key to controlling a mass population through scientific mind control is you must dumb down the population. You must, through scientific mind control, reduce the ability of the average student and person to use their right brain, where the big analysis, looking at the big picture, evaluation, entrepreneurship, creative ideas. It's the power source of your brain that can make you great and accomplish goals is the right brain. But when you look at the educational system, it has been deliberately designed by social engineers to suppress the growth of the right brain, which shrinks it. What that means is that you lose all these all this access to God-given powers, to the release of your abilities, to the growth of your talents, to creative innovation, all the things that God gave you that would enable you to experience breakthrough in life and success and achievement on levels that you never dreamed possible, you're short-circuiting when you're allowing the educational system to atrophy or shrink your right brain. Now, how do they do that? From the youngest of ages, they deprive the student of any stimulus in the classroom which causes the right brain to grow and develop. So the new educational programs just teach to the test. That dumbs a person down, shrinks the right brain. You're not encouraged to write poetry. You're not encouraged to write your own essays unless they're a response to what they spoon-fed you. You no longer, at most schools, play classical music instruments. I hated classical music. I played that big instrument with the bow and the fiddle. I don't know what it was called. I couldn't stand it. But the mere act of participating in the orchestra and playing classical music, that is a powerful way of stimulating and growing the right brain. So the educational process is now designed to deprive the student of any stimulus which grows the right brain. That produces compliant, unquestioning people that follow orders, go along with the program, don't look at the big picture, can't innovate, can't create, can't experience breakthrough. And it causes them to be victims. It causes them to be slaves and unquestioning. Now, why is that important on the personal level? Is if you look at yourself or you look at your family or your children or your grandchildren or loved ones and people that you know and look at where they are in life and look at the quality of their marriages, look at whether they're succeeding and failing constantly in different businesses. You know that they have certain gifts and talents and abilities, but they never seem to be able to come to fruition. You're looking at people that you know and love that are somehow being inhibited very powerfully from being everything that God created them to be. They're being blocked from it. Okay, that is the downside of scientific mind control. In the process of dumbing down a population, you also end up short-circuiting people's mental abilities to develop, release the gifts and the talents and the marriages and stuff that God wants them for. So you have to understand that this scientific mind control has a real intense impact on limiting, confining, and causing arrested development people. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love your children, your grandchildren, instead of yelling at your husband for not, you know, accomplishing anything or yelling at your wife or whatever or your kids, recognize, gee, they may be experiencing some of the negative effects that they're not even aware of via scientific mind control. And so you begin to look at them differently and realize, wait a minute, my husband or my kid is talented. They have all these gifts, but they can't. They're not breaking through to them. It's not because they're stupid or rebellious. It's because they're under a subtle hypnotic trance or programming, which is limiting them. So once you understand these basic techniques of programming and scientific mind control, which I explain in Conquering the Matrix, you can use techniques to, in effect, deprogram them, break the subtle trance state off them, remove the negative programming, and the next thing you know, they're flourishing in life. They are accomplishing their God-given goals. All of a sudden, they're not on the verge of divorce. You see, it has a dual impact. It has a societal impact, but it has a very personal impact. And that's what my mission is to communicate this truth, because it's a game changer for where we are in America, but it's a game changer for yourself and the people that you love.
Absolutely. And we always have to be working to try to uplift each other and instead of tearing down. And, you know, it's always a lot easier to put other people down, criticize, and
right.
And from your own station in life to make judgments
some
about
people,
another person's life.
Some people make that it's a cottage industry. It's what they do. But
right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, really. You know, if I can ask you one question, Paul, and again, we're talking with Paul McGuire. Conquering the Matrix is his book. One thing when you're talking about mind control, and I noticed you had a chapter in your book, and I don't know if you want to touch on this. Either way, we've talked about this before, but Senator Kennedy in a congressional hearing into MK Ultra and LSD. I thought that was a really interesting chapter. And since we're talking about mind control, MK Ultra, and then of course if you wanted to kind of touch on that, I thought that was rather interesting, and it's relevant because we just saw it's relevant. Tangential to the drop of JFK files we saw released, and of course the MLK file about how the FBI kind of set up some things with respect to orgies and some other things. But I just thought that was interesting, timely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a big part of the book. And let me just start off by saying Senator Kennedy was very aggressive when they called the heads of the CIA and the intelligence community who were being investigated regarding MKUltra and Manchurian candidates. And they assured Kennedy and the other senators that they had stopped that program, X amount of years ago. That's, whether that department stopped it, other departments, which we may not know, the exact names of every department, have certainly not stopped it. Scientific mind control is one of the most important sciences there is, and it has been growing exponentially, just like genetic science and computer science and other things. So what I find very interesting is that when somebody is under the influence of scientific mind control, they are in a programmed state of consciousness, which is produced roughly by the formula that I talk about in the book called pain, drugs, and hypnosis. And pain, drugs, and hypnosis is the base formula for heavy-duty scientific mind control and producing assassins and killers who can't remember what they did. So, and the pain could be psychological trauma, exposed at a young age to incredible abuse, brutality. It could be psychological shock, like seeing horrifying things that disrupt you. Then there's the component of drugs, that when to be effectively programmed on this deep level, you administer powerful mind-altering drugs like LSD, and LSD opens the person up to be programmed and mind-controlled and brainwashed, because LSD just catapults your mind into an altered state of consciousness. And then pain, drugs, and hypnosis, while on LSD, after experiencing severe pain and shock, hypnotic messages are embedded in the human personality. Programming is embedded in the personality on the subconscious level. And then what happens is, let's say you're programming an assassin who's going to kill somebody, and through trigger words, they're activated. or a sex slave, which would be a female designed to develop a sexual relationship with some big-time politician and spy on him, she could be activated through trigger words or whatever. So after this individual has been programmed, and they do the deeds that they do, let's say it's killing a politician or a mass shooting or whatever, they're incapable of ever remembering the fact that they were programmed, or the mission they were given when they were programmed. That's all erased from their brain, and they can't retrieve it. They have no memory of it. And why they have no memory of it is that the scientific mind control doctors create what are called amnesia walls that are powerful walls that block a person from going into certain areas in their memory and recalling the programming. So the amnesia walls are created through electroshock therapy. Now, the amount of voltage used in mind control is way, way above traditional electroshock therapy. They literally zap the brain with very high levels and voltages of electricity, and they burn the neurons, and they create a wall of amnesia where they've erased the memories. So after this person commits whatever thing they were told to do under programming, they are unable, even under a hypnotic state, they cannot remember what they did and how they were programmed. Now, when you look at, I'm not making a specific allegation. I'm making a generalized observation, which to me is impossible to ignore. And that is the quirks, the inconsistencies, the similarities that appear to be happening in a lot of these mass shooting events or terrorist events. I'm observing what I consider irregularities and similarities in the individuals who carried out these murders. I'm seeing similarities in their weird biographies that don't seem to make sense and have all inconsistencies. And most of all, to me, the biggest thing that I notice is almost a mirror-like similarity in the eyes of the various killers and shooters. So, for example, this guy that carried out the mass shooting at the church in Texas to kill 27 people. You look at his eyes, in every picture I've seen of him, you look at his eyes, and I immediately see the following things. They always look in the eyes like they're disconnected from what happened and reality. Their eyes reveal no emotion, like sadness or remorse or anger. Their eyes convey a vacant state, like they're in a hypnotic trance, okay? At the very least, their eyes all, in a similar way, convey that they're in some kind of disassociative state. Now, disassociation simply means that that's a trance state or a hypnotic state. But in a disassociative state, a person is disconnected from their core self. They're disconnected from their memories. They're disassociated from who they really are. There's this artificial separation between reality and who they are in the real world and what they've done. And the way you recognize a disassociative state is you look at them and it's like nobody's home in the eyes. There's no emotion. There's just a void. And there's an eerie detachment from the eyes. It's like they're in a trance. And that disassociative state, which is also a fancy word for describing a trance state, is one of, or can be, one of the signatures for being under scientific mind control. Because scientific mind control, when you're programmed in scientific mind control, you are put into a mild trance state or a disassociative dissociative state or some kind of hypnotic state. And so they all have the same eyes, okay? I've seen pictures of criminals and murderers before. They don't have those eyes. They either have eyes of anger, eyes of rebellion, eyes of denial, eyes of guilt. But even in the worst of the violent crimes and stuff, the eyes still register some kind of connection to who they are and what they did. When you look at these people, it's like they're looking at a blank state. To me, that's a signature of scientific mind control. So then when you read all the particulars of the person's biography or their interactions with husbands and wives or are they on psychiatric medication, et cetera, you begin to see certain similarities. Now, I don't know if this particular guy, the church shooter, was on drugs, psychiatric drugs. Which is conspicuous. The Vegas shooter was on Valium Valium, which is, you know, if he was on drugs, he was on more than Valium. Because
well, they said
I
that.
Know.
What? And Paul, I don't mean to interrupt you, but just with the Valium, he had a prescription that was for 90 pills that dated back till June, and they said they still had one third of the bottle left. So it wasn't a regular thing from the way they described it. It was a monthly prescription that he took every day.
Right. So that's very interesting because half the people in Hollywood that I knew that were producing films, acting and starring and stuff, were taking Valium as like just to get a buzz every day. Okay. And they weren't killing anybody or doing weird stuff. So the psychiatrists that come on the airwaves and give their analysis are really full of it. I'll tell you why. Because they say, well, the Valium reduces the inhibition. So if you are very violent internally, the Valium is going to reduce your inhibitions and you will express your violence. And they compare it to a person who, you know, is a really nice guy, but every time he has a couple of drinks, he gets in fights at the bars and stuff because he's got all this locked up hostility. Well, that may be true. If you've got violent, I've met people who are happy drunks and people that are violent when they get drunks and pick fist fights. But there's a huge inconsistency in that story because this guy is planning this over a period of months. He's not taking a bunch of Valium and slugging down a couple of beers and getting into a fist fight with somebody because his inner rage is being released. He's methodically carrying out a long-term plan, and as you said, he didn't even use up his dosage of medication. Whether he's taking Valium or not, over that span of time, you don't just stay in a state of consciousness releasing your anger because you have Valium. I mean, that's like the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I don't buy it for a second. And then there's these strange missing pieces and missing elements in his biography, like the Vegas shooter, some kind of psychiatric hospital history, which can often be where they're programmed. And then the church shooter, you know, I see diversionary stories like he was an atheist or whatever. I don't know if he was an atheist or not, but that's not what caused him to shoot. The disassociative eyes has nothing to do with the fact that he may have been an atheist. And so you have this very weird story. He goes on military bases with heavy weaponry threatening to kill his officers, and he doesn't get, you know, arrested. He gets a free pass. And then there's a whole series of very mysterious accidents, like the fact that the authorities didn't send his criminal record, so he freely could purchase guns. You know, it's weird. And at the very least, all of these stories of all these shootings are re-edited with new video and the mainstream media obviously communicating a message of gun control. Because mysteriously, and I'm very suspicious of this, before the church mass shooter did his dirty deeds, he puts up this, it looks like a giant picture of his assault rifle, like it would be like in a gun magazine, all highlighting this spectacular weapon. And he has a nickname for the weapon, you know, that this bad, you know.
Right.
Okay. So, that's weird, because why does he put up this big picture of the gun? Okay. Like it's a gun ad. And you see the same thing in the Vegas shooter. When you see the official first time video evidence of the inside of the hotel room of Vegas shooter, I went through it several times, picture by picture, and right after, the second shot or the first shot, you see the murderer, the shooter, on the floor. And to me, the picture of the shooter on the floor screams something is contrived here, because the head and shoulders of the shooter is deliberately cropped out of the photo. Why? No police photographer, no person documenting the evidence of the crime crops out the head and shoulders of the shooter. Okay? Nobody is so stupid in professional photography, not even people who are amateurs using their cell phone, would miss the head and the shoulders. They would simply step back and take a longer shot, which included the head of the shoulders. So it screams that something is being hidden when the primary photograph of the shooter is minus his head and his shoulders. Something's being hidden. Then you go into the room, and again, it has this surreal look, like somebody went into the room, rearranged everything before the photographer, and because the guns are all placed on couches and in kind of like upright positions that make the guns look like they're in photographic pieces in a gun magazine, publication. It's all about the guns being highlighted in an artificial way. And the way the guns are placed in the Vegas shooter's room, it's not natural. It's like, hello, we're here to showcase the guns. We want you to keep your eyes on all these guns. And then we look at the shell casings. He shot off 2,000 rounds. There's nothing close to 2,000 rounds, shells on the floor. And when shells from that gun fall on the floor, they burn holes in the carpets. Okay, so we go through the little tour of all guns. We don't go through a tour showing the window and blood and all the other important information. We just, like, we're looking at a gun show ad, because the intent, in my opinion, of the person making the documentation is to use this as an anti-gun commercial. And so at the end of this pictorial essay describing what happened with the Vegas shooter, we see the last shot. Oh, it is again these big pictures of his guns, and then we see the exterior of the gun shop where he bought the guns, which is kind of like in neon sign. Here, folks, here's the real problem: too easy access for guns. So the takeaway message from the Vegas shooting is promoting gun control. And the takeaway message from the church shooter is gun control. The only thing that interferes with it is the story that the next door neighbor or whatever was an NRA trainer, expert marksman, and he actually killed the church shooter and prevented him from doing further damage. I'm not there. I'm not a cop, but I would be shocked to find out that there's actual proof that this shooter shot himself. I believe that this expert marksman got the bullets in between his body armor and he bled to death. Because if he shot himself to death, where was the sound of the gunshot?
Yeah, that was a good point. I did pick up on that. And so, I do believe. So,
and
go ahead.
And Paul, what you said about the way that the pictures in the Las Vegas were put out, that's a very insightful analysis, because you're right, the important information was left out. We're just a few days after this Texas shooting. We already know that the shooter had 15 30-round magazines that he used, firing upwards of 450 shots. We're over 6 weeks out from Las Vegas, and we don't know how many shots were fired, how many magazines there were. We don't have any of the important information from Las Vegas. No ballistics reports, and none of that will be forthcoming. So it just shows you
And if you don't have something to hide, it's like, if you're not trying to hide something, then why are you going to boost efforts to hide things?
Right.
I mean, it kind of indicts itself.
Yeah, it does.
And then the other thing is, you have all kinds of reports of bullets and shooters shooting from different directions. And on top of that, you have, I forgot how many, four people in the Vegas shooting who testified that there was other shooters. They're mysteriously dead.
Yeah, actually, I think the number's up to seven or eight. Yeah, including one, especially the one that bothers me the most was the one that was starting a support group or Facebook group about the multiple shooter aspect and getting the story out there. That was the first one, I think. Yeah.
Right. And the thing is that when I watched the initial news reports that were breaking, and I heard that this guy, I think from Australia and New Zealand, had his room like right near the shooter's room or right below it or something. And he was from New Zealand or Australia, and he very boldly got in the media and said, "I know, I saw that there was more than one shooter."
And Paul, that guy turned out to be not telling the truth about the room number he was staying in or where he was in location to the shooting. But I know what you're talking about. There are multiple.
But regardless, I mean, there's additional ones that did say that virtually the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're and I like how you really combined kind of in a historical timeline from the 60s, Robert Kennedy through the present, and the template doesn't change really much, does it?
No, and it relies, and here's the thing, one of the reasons why I wrote Conquering the Matrix, here's the thing. I don't believe that if people's perceptive abilities were not being dumbed down to scientific mind control, if their normal critical thinking process were not being negatively impacted by scientific mind control, I don't believe that there's millions of Americans who exist in a low level trance state, which is low level programming. So they can't see reality correctly. They're plugged into a matrix, which is an artificial reality. And so what would be obvious to somebody whose brain was literally working normally is not obvious to a scientifically dumbed down population, which no longer have the, because of the scientific mind control, they no longer have the capacity to make basic analytical perceptions and analysis. They're dumbed down, and any stupid half-baked story that is presented to them, they just smile and grin and state it as, gospel truth. I don't want to sound unkind, but you and I and many of your listeners and viewers, and people are going to be upset when I say this, we are surrounded by people who have been scientifically dumbed down, who have been programmed to be, I don't know how else to say it, idiots. And when I say idiots, I'm not saying that somebody under the influence of subtle scientific mind control cannot be very successful in any given field, like a lawyer or a teacher or any profession. They can be very excellent in certain areas and professions. They can be very perceptive in certain areas. But because of the subtle nuances in scientific mind control, they then can't see the obvious, which in previous generations, before the implementation of scientific mind control, would have been blatantly obvious to anybody with half a brain.
Yeah. No, it is, you know, some people do take offense to it, Paul, but I get frustrated too, and I'll start, you know, saying, calling people names or not people names, but the mentalities and the beliefs. It is so frustrating to see, you know, this assault on the truth from the mainstream media. You know, we've seen it from the political establishments some of the bigger businessmen for a long time now. But the media has diverted so far from reality that they're in the twilight zone. But they think
exactly. They
are on there are some moral authority on all these issues, and that they have the right to dictate to the people what they think is best. And the people aren't buying it to a large degree. But unfortunately, there's a nice percentage of the people who are falling into that mental trap, and it's creating that divide that we were talking about in the very first segment. The divide on political and ideological lines that is growing wider as each day goes.
And let me just give you a 2-minute warning here. I can't believe how quickly this this episode has gone. 2 minutes, roughly about 2 minutes to the end of the show. So, Paul, you've got the last word.
Well, I want to invite people to join me at the next Paradise Mountain Church meeting, November 17th, coming up. I guess that's next week in North Hollywood, and we're going to pray for our nation. God has given me, I believe, a prophetic message from His Word, and I'm going to talk about current events in light of Bible prophecy, and then the power of the Lord moves mightily in these Paradise Mountain Church meetings. So I invite people listening to come. The church meetings, of course, are free, but you do have to register as part of our security system. At paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. So join us for that. And then really quickly, in addition to Conquering the Matrix, Troy Anderson and I, my writing partner, on a new book called Trumpocalypse, is coming out in January. And all I can say, because there's a lot of things I can't say till the book is released, pray for that book. That book is going to release explosive information that is going to directly impact the tide of the spiritual battle for America, and I believe that God will use it in conjunction with other things we have planned to really create a revival and a peaceful, law-abiding mass movement that may very well turn the tide, be a real game changer. And I can't get into everything, but I suggest that people be prepared for Trump apocalypse. You can find out about it at paulmaguire.us. I think they're going to have their minds blown.
It's fantastic. All right, so the 17th, don't forget the 17th, Garland Hotel, the prayer prophecy meeting with Paul Maguire. And that's a week from tomorrow. Right? That would be a week from tomorrow. Okay. Wow. Well, Paul, thank you so very much. Conquering the Matrix
No problem.
Conquering the Matrix. Great book. And of course, looking forward to the next one. Man, what a prolific writer. But this book is fantastic. Conquering the Matrix. Definitely go to paulmaguire.us. Grab a copy of this as well. And, folks, don't forget, tune in to the Doug Hagman Radio Show tomorrow. 9:00 in the morning Eastern Time. And of course, John and Joe at from 2 to 3. And that's on Global Star Radio Network and BTR. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thanks for tuning in tonight. May God bless you, keep you safe. Have a good night.